Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. Last week, we opened up the phones to take your calls for author and plant expert Summer Rain Oaks, and the lines were full the entire time. So we thought we'd invite her back today to take more of your calls about spring gardening and houseplant care. Summer Rain Oaks knows just about everything there is to know about caring for plants in cities and suburbs. She's the author of How to Make Your Plant Love You, Cultivate Green Space in Your Home and Heart, producer and host of the YouTube channel Plant One On Me, and founder of HomesteadBrooklyn.com and the Houseplant Masterclass. Summer, thank you so much for making time for us again.
Hey, I'm happy to be here, Allison. I'm glad so many people are excited and interested about plants.
So if you have a question about caring for your houseplants, now we're spending more time with them. If you want some tips on propagation, our lines are open 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280, or you can drop us a note at Instagram and Twitter. Both handles are at All of It WNYC. Now, full disclosure, I sent you a picture earlier today. Some people may be in the same boat I'm in. My neighbor went to San Francisco to be with his parents and asked me to look after his plant. I do not have a green thumb, and I've been trying my hardest, but the poor thing is not looking well. First of all, Summer, what kind of plant is that I sent you a picture of?
Yeah, so you sent me something that is called a spider plant, commonly known as a spider plant, scientifically named Chlorophytum camosum. It's a very common house plant. And what struck me, and I guess I should describe it to some of the listeners, is that it's in this very low but wide plastic planter. I couldn't tell whether there's any drainage on the bottom or whether there's like an internal drainage, but it didn't look like there was any drainage on the bottom. And for those who grow spider plants, if you've ever unrooted them or repotted them, you will be shocked by how thick and long their roots are. They almost look like white carrots. So in the planter that you showed me, you know, it's not that high, it doesn't seem to me, but the soil is only halfway up the planter. What I think is happening could be a couple different things. One, usually your snake plant, or sorry, not your snake plant, your spider plant will want, will want a little bit more extra space.
Okay.
I couldn't tell from the soil, but it looked a little wet. You know, it was a darker soil, so maybe that was a little wet. And I noticed that some of the things that you'll notice about your spider plant is they shoot out these little baby plantlets that come out. So these stolons that come out from the rosette, and they have little baby plantlets with the roots that are growing, and some were brown and some were fine. So that could be a combination of like letting it dry out and then all of a sudden saying, oh my God, I let it dry out too much, and then overwatering it. And I would be a little bit cautious with the planter that it came in, just to make sure that it actually has drainage, because if it's sitting in that water, if it has too little of soil, then it's going to probably cause some problems. So I know this is your neighbor's plant. I personally would just make sure, one, that it has drainage in the pot, two, that if you could get some more soil and lift up the plant, and give it more root space, and then just make sure that the soil is draining when you water it, and then cut off any of those brown bits that you see that are some of the plantlets that have dried up. A lot of those plantlets, those baby plantlets, could be potted up in some extra soil as well if you wanted to, and you could propagate some. So when your neighbor comes back, you could say, hey, look, I propagated a bunch of your babies. But you know, spider plants are very resilient, and they could take a licking. But I would definitely give that more soil. And that might not be the fault of yours. It might just be that it was a small plant. It was fine with that soil, but now it's really expanded. And I often say, my dad has spider plants, and he always calls me and he's like, they're taking over the house, you know, and literally it's the type of plant that doesn't want you to have any other plant in your house, because they will propagate so readily and take over the joint.
All right. Thank you. So I there is hope. I'll work on that. Let's go. Oh, we've got tons of calls already. See, we were tap dancing a little bit, and now the phone lines are open. Doug is calling us from the East Village. Hi, Doug. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a Dieffenbachia plant. It used to be really big and full and beautiful, and it's over the past year or so, it's been dying back. I thought maybe it needed to be repotted. I put it in a bigger pot. That didn't seem to help, and it just continues dying off. I wonder if there's anything I can do to save it.
We're having a lot of plant saving today.
Yeah. Well, Dieffenbachia are otherwise known as dumb cane, and the reason why they're called dumb cane is that they have calcium oxalate crystals in it that are toxic to a lot of anybody really. But if you're not going to be noshing on your plants, then you shouldn't have to worry about it. But I just want to kind of have that as a full disclosure. Dieffenbachia are the kind of plants that don't, I would say, age well. Because they get very caney or very stemmy. So they have these stems, and oftentimes when you get them fresh from the plant shop or whatnot, they have very beautiful coloration. They're very full. They have very long, kind of somewhat broad leaves and usually very nice colorations. There's lots of different cultivated varieties that have lots of different splotches and stripes and things like that. But as they age, they start to get pretty stemmy. Sometimes you'll have to wind some wire around them fall over. Yes. And then, the best way to do it, and this is unfortunately one of those things where it's going to look like crap. And a lot of people, when a plant looks like crap, they want to put it out the door. Dieffenbachia are readily propagated by just cutting the stems and repositioning them. So, and mind you, Dieffenbachia's root system doesn't always get very extensive. It's not like the spider plant that I had mentioned. So, and they can be touchy sometimes with a little bit of watering. So if you pull your canes out, you'll see maybe the root system is not that extensive. But if you pull the canes, you cut them off and you still leave a node. That's like the little section where a leaf connects to the stem. You could try to put that into some water or some like perlite-y mixture of soil and just try to repropagate them. And I know this is a little unconventional, but not all of our plants look good over time. And a lot of plants do really well by vegetatively repropagating them. Some crassulas are like that as well, which are the succulents in the jade plant family, where a lot of times cutting them back and propagating them will make them look healthy again. But if you're saying that, like, hey, you know, I've already started to wind some things around the canes are probably just getting too caney. The other thing you could do is try to bury the cane a little bit further, get a deeper pot and bury the cane a little bit further. And there could be chances that roots will start coming out of the nodes in the area and then give it a better chance to root. Tomato plants are actually like that. If you take off a few of their leaves and you bury the stem a little bit further down, roots will come off the stem and will make it a more robust rooted plant. But yeah, Dieffenbachia, those are the types of plants that don't always age well in the house.
Good luck with that, Doug. Let's go to Sharon, who is also, she's calling from the Lower East Side. And Sharon, you have a cactus issue.
Yes, I have a cactus that's just so crushed together in a pot. It's, I think, an echinovarius, but I don't know what comes in after that. And I have it for about 8 to 10 years. It's in probably a 6-inch pot. There are probably 15, 20 little plants in there. And this year, all of a sudden, it just burst into flower. And I didn't know whether I should be... It was fantastic. And I didn't know whether I should be watering it or not watering it when the cactus is in flower.
Yeah, I mean, if your cactus is in flower, and by the way, cacti flowers are just marvelous. And if anybody has ever gone out to the desert and seen the time when the cacti are in bloom, it's a whole other world. So even seeing them on our windowsill is such a pleasure. And oftentimes they are in many different brilliant colors. If you get white flowers on your cacti, it probably means that they'll open up a little bit more at night and attract, moths or anything at night in order to be able to pollinate it. But most of the time, they're really beautiful blooms. But yes, you can continue to water your cactus when it's, now is the time to actually start watering cacti. I started actually watering my cacti a month before because everything seemed to be growing a little bit earlier this year. So when typically I would water my cacti from March through October. I started in February this year, and I also started to fertilize them around that time as well, because it's mainly growing season for most cacti. So the fact that it's flowering, that's great. It means that it has the conditions that it needed in order to be able to bloom. And it sounds like it's one of those type of cacti that put off a lot of offsets in a different way from the spider plant that Allison had mentioned earlier on. But yeah, continue to water it. I would just, say I would make sure that, especially when you have cacti very close to the soil, to be careful watering it, because sometimes it might splash onto the cactus and we don't always have great airflow in our house. And sometimes that could rot some of those things that are touching the soil. So just be ginger when you water and be careful, especially if it's filling out with a lot of offsets.
My guest is Summer Rain Oaks, author of How to Make a Plant Love You, Cultivate Green Space in Your Home and Heart. We've got calls on about avocados. We've got questions about hydroponic veggies. We'll get to more after the break. This is All of It. We're back with Summer Rain Oaks, plant expert and author of How to Make a Plant Love You, Cultivate Green Space in Your Home and Heart. She is answering your questions. Our number is 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280 if you have a question for Summer, or you can tweet or message us at All of It WNYC. Summer, I do want to get to a question that we had from last week, because we had some callers who were online on hold for a while. David was on hold. He was called in from Brooklyn last week, and he said he's growing vegetables in a hydroponic setup in his basement. He swears they're vegetables. He says all the veggies are thriving except spinach. Any idea what's going on?
I actually don't know, because I'm not there, but it would be curious to know, like, whether what is happening. Like, is it not growing? Is it turning yellow? Is it wilting beforehand? I wish she was actually on the phone, because maybe I'd be able to help diagnose it.
David, if you're listening, call back in. By the way, if you're listening,
yeah,
David,
yeah,
with the spinach, call us in 646-435. 7280. Oh, let's get somebody who's on the phone, so you can ask a question if you need to get to the answer. David is calling on line 7 from Coney Island. Hi, David. I'm sorry, Alan. Alan, sorry, Alan.
Yes.
Are you there? Sorry,
that's
my bad.
Okay. Yes, I am there. I have a question about my avocado plant that I've had for about 5 years. I started it from a seed, and it's in a big, giant plastic 25-gallon bucket, and every summer I feel bad for the thing, and I bring it outside and put it out in the yard, and it thrives. And then before the end of the summer, before the first frost, I bring it inside, and it promptly drops every single one of its leaves and stays that way all winter.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think what you are experiencing, and by the way, everybody out there, starting an avocado from the seed of the avocado is such a fun thing to do. And for anybody who's kind of trapped at home with their kids and trying to find different things to do, it's actually, fun for kids and adults alike. But what you're experiencing is actually really common. A lot of us will put out lemon trees. I put out this, it's spinach tree, otherwise known as chaya. And I put it out in the summer. It's usually flush with leaves. I bring it in. It loses all of its leaves, and it's still resilient. You could feel the stem of it. You could feel everything. It's very flexible, so it's not dead. But what usually happens is that plants will acclimatize to their environment. So if you're giving plants like really full sun, this happens also with ones that are grown in nurseries. Promptly make it to a garden center, and then we buy it, and it looks really beautiful, and then all of a sudden there's leaf drop. And that's just the plant actually acclimatizing to its environment. In some cases, like my spinach tree, it's deciduous. So when it goes through a winter, it will actually lose its leaves, just the same way that a maple or an oak out here in the Northeast will also lose its leaves during the winter months. So since you've had this for 5 years and it does it consistently over and over again, that's just your plant acclimatizing. It's deciduous. And if it puts out leaves every growing season, that's totally fine. It seems to be the natural flow of your plant. The same thing happens if people have citrus, which is quite common. Oftentimes when they pull it in from outside or put it on their patio, it will drop almost all of its leaves or some of its leaves. But in the growing season, you just have to have faith and it will kind of put it all the way back. So I don't think you're really doing anything wrong. We don't live in a tropical area, unfortunately. So a lot of more plants are going to have that kind of reaction as opposed to growing avocados where they would typically grow, which, you know, would be in like really, 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 really southern California and like the Baja Peninsula into Mexico. So we just don't have that same weather. So I think what you're reporting is very natural.
Alan, good luck with the avocado. Karen is calling us from Manhattan. Karen, it sounds like you have quite an issue with some ants.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have, initially I noticed the ants were farming aphids. And when I say farming, I see them go and, you know, make contact with the aphids. And I don't know what they're doing. They're feeding them something. But I used some ladybugs to try to, you know, kill the aphids and get rid of the ants. But last year I noticed the ants are farming some other thing that's some other insect that's forming this, it almost looks like white foam, but it's more mm-hmm. dense than that. And again, mm-hmm. the ants are, you know, keep approaching these little clusters and then go and do whatever they do. And I've tried, you know, spritzing them with diluted Dr. Bronner soap. And a lot of the times I end up really having to throw the plants out.
So is this not sure indoors what, that you're experiencing this or is this outdoors?
No, thank God. No, it's outdoors.
Okay. Yeah. Having ants indoors would be a little bit more of a challenge, but I'm just curious what plants are they on? Is it like tomatoes? Is it roses?
No, it's on, let's see. Well, I can never have, what are those plants that grow in the, they're colorful, but they grow in shade. I can't remember them now.
Impatience?
Oh, like coleus.
Impatience.
I can't have those at all, period, the end.
But
last year, they're vines, they're flowering vines, so it's not like they're as, you know, they have as much moisture as the impatiens do that the ants can suck on or these other things can suck on. But really, basically, anything except the vegetables that I have. They don't attack the vegetables.
Okay.
They just...
Let's Summer dive in here. Go for it, Summer.
So you know, basically a lot of times ants, and what she said is right, they're farming literally plant-sucking insects because the poop that comes out of insects is, you know, lovingly called frass. And, you know, if you've ever, I wouldn't suggest eating anything that comes out of the butt of an insect, but in many ways, these plant-sucking insects will, you know, kind of poop out something that is just almost like liquid candy. So ants will literally farm this. And in some ways, mold and fungus will actually grow on the poop itself. So the ants are really protecting the aphids, and that white foamy stuff might actually be another leaf sucking or stem sucking insect. I would guess that it could be maybe a mealybug. It could be whitefly. It could be all sorts of different types of things. But and oftentimes aphids and all these other plants will come around the growing tips where it's nice and fresh and the plant doesn't have like its quote unquote immunity, you know, built up yet. And it's really nice and tender. So what I would recommend is if you have a hose, I would put it on this, on a really sharp spray and just keep on spraying the areas where you see that there's a lot of damage. And you're going to have to keep on doing that for a little while. I mean, I know that you've used a little Dr. Bronner, but you want to get a really, really sharp spray. And you might have to put your hand behind some of the more sensitive tips of the plant so they don't just break off or anything along those lines. And then I would recommend, instead of ladybugs, ladybugs have a tendency to disperse quite readily when you put them on, because we can't get the ladybug larvae, which don't have wings. We get the ladybugs that have the wings, and oftentimes when you put them in the garden, they will often disperse, and they're really hard to corral. I would recommend looking into getting green lacewings. They're a type of neuropterin. They are also called
aphid lions. We've got about a minute, Summer, just so you know.
What?
Just, we have about 45 seconds, so just let's get our last bit of information out there.
Get green lacewings. They're aphid lions. You could get them usually at your garden centers. You could order them online from places like Arbico Organics. And they are wonderful. They don't have wings until they become adults, and I highly recommend them for both indoors and out, and they're native.
Our lines are still full, so everybody, you should check out Summer Rain Oaks' YouTube channel, Plant One On Me. Summer, as always, you were a hit. Thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Oh, thank you. I love sharing the beauty of plants, so thank you so much for having me.